Welcome to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Conversations that are real, raw, and relevant. Let's get the conversation started now.
Hey, welcome to episode number 5. I'm so excited to have you joining us again as we continue the conversation regarding the assault on the black man. Now, last week, I was joined by my friend and my brother, Eric D. Evans, and he's joining us again today. Eric is the executive director of 413 Strong, a nonprofit organization that works to equip men between the ages of 18 to 30, helping them to succeed both personally and professionally. Now, on last week's episode, we dealt with Jacob Blake and how he was shot 7 times there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We also talked about the fact that people are intimidated by the black man. We talked about why they are and various reasons why black men intimidate people of different colors. On today's episode, we're really going to get into the importance of affirming our black children. You know what? We're going to talk about a lot of things. Let's get to it right now. There's a phrase, you know, where people say code switching, you know, where you're in one room with a different group of people and, you know, you start talking like this. Hey, Eric, how was your day today?
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, hey, but then you leave that particular space and then now, you start talking, what's up, folks? And you know, how, whatever, yeah. You know, and unfortunately we as African-Americans have had to code switch.
Yeah.
We've had to implement certain things in an effort to be accepted, to be validated, to be valued, and to even have a glance or look our way so that people of the opposite hue will take us serious. And that's just not, that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something else that I had to, that's another lesson that I've had to tell little Eric, that, you know, you always are going to have to code switch. Unfortunately, you know, people aren't just going to get you just because, you know, you got to know when to turn it on and when to turn it off. And in a few years, I'm going to have that conversation with Israel. You know, it's funny that you say that because Israel right now goes to a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you ought to see him, man. When he put his clothes on, he got his swag, same uniform every single day. But you let him tell it, I got my hat. Can I wear my necklace today? can I wear these shoes right here? Will this go with this? And he looks at himself in the mirror like, I'm in now. but you know what I'm saying? It's absolutely dope. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, that's part of the culture. You know, that's part of the code switching, you know, and he has to. And I think he's learned how to turn it on and turn it off a little bit in his own little unique way. He's already picked that up. He has already picked that up. And that's something that is black men, black people, it is definitely something that we have to do. We have to turn it on and turn it off. I think that if we leave it on, they'll say that we're ignorant. When you have people such as 50 Cent, when he walks into a room, you know, 50 is very, very intelligent. Sean Carter, Sean John, Puffy, you know, these are all intelligent men. When they walk into a room, they can sit down with the best of them, but at the same time, be able to have a great conversation with people like you and I, and they never lost that common touch. And I think that's very important for us, for black men, to not to lose that touch, not to forget who you are and where you come from.
Yeah, that's good. You know, one of the things I've had the privilege of seeing you, you know, interact with your children and to see how you're very intentional about affirming them and encouraging them, you know, as a black man with black children, it's important that you take time to affirm them and encourage them, because at the end of the day, many of the issues and the challenges that our black children experience is because they don't have the affirmation of their father.
Right.
They don't have the affirmation of somebody in their life that can say, no, you're doing a great job. Or they don't have somebody in their life to say, no, you're not doing a good job. You need to step it up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to do that, man. You know, like with little Eric, you know, I've had to have times when I would say to him, he would bring me a situation and I'd be like, son, I hear you, but that's not right. You know, I understand you're a grown man. I don't pay any of your bills. Thank God. But you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Israel, that's not right. You know, but at the same time, I'm going to allow you, I'm going to give you some nuggets. And I think that that's another way that white America want to eliminate from us, to silence that black man's voice, is to, once again, incarcerate us or put us in body bags so that we won't be able to say, son, you're doing a good job. Sometimes I call Lil Eric and I'll be like, hey, man, I'm so proud of you, man. You're super dope. Keep rocking. I didn't want nothing. I'll talk to you later. Israel, you're doing great. And he would look at me and he'd be like, for what? And I, just because you're you. You know, just because you're you. And if anybody, don't nobody ever tell you, know that your father is going to tell you, you're doing great. And I think that, you know, if we have more of that, you know, I think that, you know, our sons and our daughters will be thinking twice about some of the decisions that they make. I don't have to do these things because, you know, I remember what my dad told me. I remember what my mom told me. I remember that they both poured into me. And I think that there's come to a point where there's no pouring into our kids. A lot of these young dudes that I deal with, several of them have been killed, but they left like two or three kids. Yeah. You know, who's going to affirm those kids? Right. Who's going to tell them that they are great? Who's going to do that? You know, I can only do it from afar, but he's not there. So affirming them is so, so critical, so, so real. It is something that is so, so needed. And I think that, unfortunately, we don't do it enough.
Indeed. You know, one of the things when you consider the assault on the black man, this is not just an assault in terms of killing the black man off, but it's also an assault as relates to confining the black man, putting them in prison. When you deal with the school to prison pipeline, you deal with issues that causes teachers and principals and deans to, instead of dealing with the problem that the student is having, they'd rather write the kid up and suspend them. They'd rather send them home for 15 days or 20 days, not realizing that when you do that, they're just going to be out in the street doing whatever they want to do. And consequently, they're going to be caught up. Police going to roll up and say, you're being truant. Well, I've actually been suspended. Well, then they're going to get arrested. And it begins this whole pipeline that ushers our black boys and our black girls into the prison system. And once you get into that pipeline, it is difficult to get out.
It is so difficult. I see it every single day for them to break that mold. And it's so difficult for them to break that mold once it began. And a lot of times, a lot of cases, a lot of these young people, they believe it now. I'm nothing but a criminal. I never succeed. You got to remember, my dad ain't here. My mom is this or my mom is that. I'm being raised by this person right here, or this person don't want me. They didn't show me no love. So why do I even care? I give you a story, man. Earlier this July, I met this young man. He was released to 413. And it was very, very clear. If you get accepted into 413 and you complete 413, which is 6 months, we're going to erase your criminal past. We're going to throw it out. Your felonies, all five of your felonies, we're going to wash those.
Wow.
Okay. Now, let's think about what a felony does.
Right.
You don't have the power to vote. You're going to be very limited on jobs. Mm-hmm. You're going to be very, very limited on what schools you can get in.
Right.
And you start in this process. Never mind the fact that you got tattoos covered in your face.
Yeah.
So, and you're a black dude. So you got a criminal history. Mm-hmm. And you got some facial features that ain't quite right. That means you got some scars.
Sure.
And this young man looked at me day number two and said, man, I'd rather just go on and do my little 3 years. And I said, bruh, 3 years? Are you sure? I said, it's more like 25 years.
Yeah.
No, it's 3 years. I can do that. Well, sure enough, he quit, went to court, and the judge, they start adding up the time, bro. It was actually like 24 years.
Wow.
This boy is facing 24 years, bro.
24 years.
24 years. And he's only 20.
He could have stayed in your program for 6 months.
And he's only 20.
Yeah.
So that means that, you know what I'm saying, he's getting out when he's 44.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is he going to learn? I'm going to help him. I'm going to guide him. I'm going to mold him. I'm going to mentor him. I'm going to try to pour into him what no one poured into him.
Yeah.
I'm going to do those things. But he didn't believe it.
Right.
He said to me, he said, Eric, I ain't had this my whole life. My dad ain't nothing.
Wow.
So why would I believe that you are even willing to even do this for me?
Yeah, yeah.
Why would I even do that? Why would I even waste my time? And then that's when I realized that, you know what I'm saying, that there are so many young dudes that's out there, you know, that's never even had that no one to affirm them and show them that they are kings.
Yes.
That they are worth fighting for. They don't believe it. And these young girls, the same thing. They don't believe it. They don't believe the fact that they are young princesses that will eventually be young queens. They don't believe it.
Yeah.
So when somebody do attempt to pour into them, they reject it at first.
Yeah.
They reject it and because they don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
What you mean, take this castor oil? This ain't no good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What you mean? This ain't no good. I don't want this, but it's good for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting you down and I'm telling you, no, you can't do that. No, you're going to move when I say move.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we're going to do it. And because there was a lack, he would probably perish.
Yeah.
If no one step in.
Yeah. You know, it's something that speaks to the importance of your program, 413, that you have young men who literally could throw their whole lives away if it weren't for men such as yourself that would come alongside of them and say, nah, there's a better way, you know, and to provide, you know, some tough love that they did not experience, you know, growing up or as a kid. But then there are some men who had a good father, had a good mother that just, you know, go down the wrong path, you know.
Yeah.
When you talk about the assault on the black man, again, you know, it's not just, you know, to see black men kill. It is that. It's not just to see black men in prison. It is that. But it's also to see black men caught up in the perpetual cycle of staying in the same place, not progressing at all, not growing, not developing, not learning, just being content with being content.
Yep. You have a lot of dudes. I can think of one young man, and if I said his name, and I told you a little bit of his background, Daryl, man, you will be amazed.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of heartbreaking because he too is a young man that had, I mean, this dude here had it all. He had the love of his grandfather. He had the love of his mother. But he didn't have the love of his father.
Mm-hmm.
He had the support of his uncles and his aunts and a whole community of people just, if I had those opportunities, man, I would have ate them all up.
Yeah.
But you remember those commercials? I haven't seen these commercials for years.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to be a commercial with a bunny, and he used to hop around and he used to say, "Tricks are for kids."
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Same thing. Tricks are for kids. I believe they have tricked us out of our position.
Wow.
I believe that they have tricked us in thinking that this lifestyle over here is where it's at.
Yeah.
This doing these things over here is what you would want to do. And he's mesmerized by those things only because, you know what I'm saying, he didn't have that father. That's what he yearned for.
Yeah.
He wanted that. And right. They tricked him.
Yeah.
They tricked him and made him think that, you know, that, you know, get involved into a gang, get involved with criminal life, get involved with all of these negative things, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
No, the craziest thing in the world is jailhouse attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
They know the law.
Yeah.
They can tell you, I ain't looking at about another 6-7 months. I'm good.
Yeah.
And come to find out, you're doing 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
You just got tricked.
Yeah.
You got tricked out of your position.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of those things that white America has tricked us so much. They have tricked us in thinking that wealth is the only way of happiness.
Yeah.
Selling drugs, robbing, killing people to get wealth, mm-hmm. to get in position. They have tricked us. They have tricked us in thinking that this is the way. And unfortunately, that is just not real.
Yeah.
You know, especially some of those dudes have come from very good backgrounds with the two-parent family, the two-parent upbringing. But I say to that, though, Daryl, there's probably some kind of trauma somewhere in that young person's life that they didn't really deal with.
Yeah.
For this in particular young man, the fact that he didn't have his father and he couldn't understand why his father didn't want him and didn't love him. And I don't think they really dealt with it, mm-hmm. and they just turned it off. And he probably needs to be medicated. And, well, I don't want my son to be medicated. Well, the medicine is probably useful for him.
Right.
He probably needs to be on that because he's not right now.
Yeah. It's been said that if you want to keep something from a black man, or actually a black person, put it in the book, which speaks to the idea of exposure. One of the things that you deal with when you talk about people joining gangs and people, you know, being tricked to do various things, it goes back to the issue of exposure. If you take two children and you take one child to Florida, you take one child to Spain, you let them see the world, you know, you let them experience various things. This child will have a hunger for the world. They'll have a hunger to see other things. You take another child and you leave them in their environment. You don't take them and expose them to other things. This person will not have a hunger in many cases for other things because they have not been exposed to other mm-hmm. things. Now, mm-hmm. if you tell this other child that's been in this situation that has not been exposed that these other things exist, that you can have these other things and that these other things are out there, this child is more likely to still want these other things because there's still some level of exposure. My point is simply this. If we don't expose our young men and our young women to better, they'll accept what they have right now.
Yeah, and we have to be very, very careful about what we speak into that young person's life.
Yeah.
Along with that exposure, you know, I was one who came up from the projects and I wasn't exposed to anything. Mm-hmm. I was merely told that there was some other things out there. And I said, really?
Yeah.
I ain't never seen that.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's definitely that, you know, exposing young people to different things is definitely huge. But I would also say that, you know, when they speak certain things over their lives, especially the young black male is very, very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I give an example. The year must have been 1987.
Tell your story.
Boy, look at him.
Yeah.
Man, that was this lady, man, this teacher. I'll never forget it. She said, how many weeks? It was like career days. She was like, go around the rooms, tell everybody what you want to be. Mm-hmm. Everybody got their hand up. She got to me. Other people were saying doctors and lawyers and veterinarians and this and that.
Yeah.
And she said, Eric, what do you want to be? I said, I think I want to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And she looked and she said, you'll probably make a good warehouse worker. I said, oh,
wow.
Okay. So fast forward, I was out of school. Mm-hmm. At the time, I had got me a job. I had little Eric,
yep.
and I wanted to work every day, and I went to work every single day. I walked for a month and a half from my mom's house to the job every day for a month and a half, in the rain and all that. I did all that. Yep. I was determined to get on my feet, and I did that, and I worked inside of this warehouse, and years later, in 2001, sitting on a tow motor, I was content. I was doing pretty good. I was warehouse supervisor, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I could hear her voice.
Yeah.
You'll make a good warehouse worker.
Yeah.
And I looked around, and I said, I quit.
Yeah.
And I walked out. And I haven't looked back.
Yeah.
And that was all literally almost 20 years ago. Wow. And that's who I was. And I never thought about how much she spoke into my life. Mm-hmm. I never realized that. I never realized that her few words had a huge impact in my life, because I began to believe what she said.
Yeah.
And then I believed that I was tricked.
Yeah.
I believed that without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, you were hoodwinked. Bamboozled. Led astray.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. When she said that, man, I'll never forget it. Yeah. And she said she looked me dead in my pupil. Boy, yeah. you make a good warehouse worker. And in the back of my mind, I believed it.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times, a lot of parents, especially these mothers who are trying to make their way and trying to do their thing the best way they can, they don't always speak positively to their sons.
Yeah.
They don't know how, because their idea of their son, when they see their son, they see the dude that hurt them.
Yeah.
And so when they see the dude that they hurt them, you know what I'm saying, they begin to lash out.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they begin to lash out, then guess what? You know, now your son grows up and he's just like him.
Yeah.
Well, you're just like your dad.
Yeah.
But not in a positive light.
Right.
And again, you tricked. And so speaking those words into these young people's life, especially that black male, that young black male, is so powerful.
So what do you think would have happened if she would have said in that moment, "Wow, Eric, you can be a lawyer"? What do you think would have taken place? Because ultimately, now, obviously, our lives are partly made up of our own choices, but mm-hmm. the vast majority, and I'm glad you mentioned this, the vast majority of our lives are controlled by what people speak over us and what people speak to us. If she would have said something different to you, how do you think that would have affected your life?
Well, that in particular teacher, you know, I don't think that she was a bad person. I think she had a bad moment.
Yeah.
However, you know, her bad moment could have derailed my whole entire life.
Yeah.
And she has to be accountable for that.
Yeah.
And yes, I have to make the decisions, but you know, she spoke something where there was another teacher who said, "Eric, you can do it. You can be a lawyer." It was her husband who was an attorney. And still is an attorney. Kimberly Wall is her name.
Okay.
And Kimberly Wall, she is an angel. She is a great woman. And I think highly of her. And her husband, Howard, he's an attorney, well-respected guy. And I wanted to know more about that. And I find it to this day that, you know, I do like to talk. I do like to think about the other side, which is very, you know, reminiscences of attorneys, you know, they got to look at both sides of things. So
right.
I look at things like that. And I think that if I'd have heard that more,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have strived to become one.
It's amazing how, although something was negatively spoken over your life, how though you followed that course initially because you worked in a warehouse, but you came to yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it reminds me of a biblical story in St. Luke chapter 15, where the prodigal son was out doing whatever he wanted to do.
Yep.
And then the Bible says that, and he came to himself.
Yep.
You know, it was like you had that moment where it's like, oh, wait, I could do better than this. I can do more than this. Even though you grew and you developed and you rose through the ranks of the warehouse, you became the person in charge, but you still said, I could do better than this.
Yep.
And then you accomplished various things, and now you're the executive director of an amazing program that literally has in your hands the destiny and the lives of African-American men.
Yeah.
I mean, that is phenomenal.
Thank you.
It goes to show how it doesn't matter what people say about you. It matters how you accept what people say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. But I would say that I never tell a guy that he can't do something when he comes to us. I always tell him, man, you can do whatever it is that you want to do, bro. You know what I'm saying? You can do it, man. I promise you, you can. And when that light bulb does go off,
mm-hmm.
and to see them doing it, Tiannis, you know, Deron and Charles. When I see those light bulb moments go off, man, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Because they really did buy into what we was trying to pour into them. And I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great thing. When you think about the assault on the black man, here's something that I want to say. The assault on the black man is just not external, but it's also internal. And what I mean by that is not only outside of our race, but the assault on the black man also happens inside of our race. To your point earlier, you know, you got mothers who are telling their sons, and this is, again, this is real raw and relevant. You got mothers that are telling your sons, your daddy ain't ish. You got mothers telling their black boys, your daddy ain't nothing and you ain't going to amount to nothing. Or you going to be just like your deadbeat daddy. You got black women telling their boys this. And it's something that's internally where we're pulling ourselves down.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would also say that I've seen it for the past 20 years that how many mothers say these negative things to their sons and how many of these dudes say these derogatory things and derogatory statements about their own brothers and as well as to their mothers and to the black female.
Yeah.
We will destroy one another a lot of times. But I think a lot of these dudes, if we used to say it's a crab in a barrel type of moment.
Yeah.
But I would also say that it's more of a Uncle Ruckus type of syndrome.
All right, talk about that. You know?
A lot of these dudes, they want to please the master.
Wow.
They want to please the master. So, Trayvon should have died. Yeah, George Floyd, he deserved it. He was a criminal. Are you serious, bro?
Right.
Are you serious that this dude should have died because he was running and he went into a house that was under construction and you think that he should have stopped with two white dudes telling him to stop? You think that man deserved to die?
Yeah, Ahmaud Arbery.
Come on, dog. Yeah. Come on, man. That man didn't deserve that. You got a lot of black dudes, they believe that.
Yeah.
They believe that he deserved that. And that's even more dangerous.
Yeah.
That's even more dangerous. Those people, they believe that we deserve everything that we get.
Yeah.
Everything that we comes to us. They believe it. And those are the fools that I'm scared of. I'm scared of them, man. Yeah. I'm scared of a police officer that is black that is trying to impress the white cop. Like Eazy-E and the NWA said years ago, black police showing out for the white cop. I am so fearful of that because I know it happens.
Yeah.
I'm so fearful of the black man showing out for the Donald Trumps, for photo ops, opportunities to further along their career.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking you to go along with Black Lives Matter's movement. Mm-hmm. If you say, well, I don't necessarily want to march, that's fine. But don't put us down.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. Have your own feelings about certain things, but don't put us down, man. And I've had to check some people and we're not as close as we once were.
Yeah.
Because of some of the statements a couple of people have made.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that there are a lot of Chicken Georges out there and Uncle Ruckuses out there. Yeah. I do believe that.
What's interesting is there was a movie a while ago. I mean, it was a good while ago where you had these two officers pulling over a black guy. And the officers, one was black, one was white. When they pulled the people over, the black officer kind of roughed up the black person and was like, shut the heck up, nigga. You know, and was like, don't say a word. I mean, he was going in. In other words, this behavior you would have expected from the white officer, but it was the black officer who was doing it. And unfortunately, it goes back to your point in terms of this whole Chicken George syndrome or this Uncle Ruckus, or you got these token black guys that want to fit in and not be marginalized because they want to feel accepted by other people.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of that, when you think about this whole situation with Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky, the district attorney is a black man.
Yep.
He can easily, in this very moment, even as we're talking, he can bring charges against these police officers, but he has chosen not to for whatever reason.
I think we know what that reason is.
Of course we know what that reason is.
Because one of the things is that I think that the people that put him in place and put him in office are white people.
Absolutely.
And he know that he's not going to be able to count on the black vote.
Right.
So if he knows that and he knows where his money is coming from, he's going to please that master.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to go for whatever that in particular master tells him to do. And he's not going to bring those charges. He's not going to do those things because that in particular master do not want him to. That's yeah. it. And the whole Breonna Taylor situation has become so big. They can't turn right now. I don't believe that they will ever turn right now and say, yeah, we made a mistake. We're going to go after them. I don't believe that they would do that because there would be egg on their face. And they don't want that. I just don't believe they want that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, in the height of the situation with Breonna Taylor, pictures start surfacing of the DA getting married to his wife during that time, who happened to be a white woman. You marry whoever you want to marry. But at the end of the day, if the color of the skin of the person that you're marrying is prohibiting your thought process or your ability to make solid decisions, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. And I think that, unfortunately, you know, that man is trying to live a certain way and be a certain way, and it don't involve us. It don't involve his people. And that's just unfortunate. I don't know if he's the head of all prosecuting attorneys, but he does have the power to do something up there. And the fact that he's decided to turn a blind eye to it, almost bury his head in the sand, definitely tells me that he don't want to rock the boat. He just do not want to rock that boat. And because he don't want to lose his voting base. And maybe he got aspirations to do something else politically. And, and this is a discussion I've had with some other friends of mine that I believe the Republican Party is grooming certain types of young people to do certain things. And people like him is what I'm seeing, you know, somebody who's going to toe the company line and who's going to stand on their morals, on their principles. He's doing that. He's displaying that. And that's just my own thought. I don't know that to be true. I don't know if he's a Republican or a Democrat, but it seems like, you know, this is what he's doing. He's drawing a line in the sand of, I'm not going to be budged on this.
Yeah. I don't know for sure because I haven't talked to him, but based upon pictures, he's a Republican. You know, no, it's like he was seen with Trump, you know, and different things of that nature.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like at what cost? And this goes back to me, to the assault on the black man. Like, you're willing to sell out what is morally right for some money.
Yeah. And I think that there are more and more people that is buying into that. Unfortunately, I remember they used to, I mean, when I was in high school and like a freshman in college, we used to say, if it ain't white, it ain't right.
Yeah.
and that was just an ongoing thing because, you know what I'm saying, it was always seemed like, you know, whatever the white man said, it had to be right. And, you know, if you want to make it in this world, you got to get your white man and make it. And this is a classic case of, you know what I'm saying, he has aligned himself with a white man that truthfully, at his core, from what I can tell, he don't care about this dude. He don't care about this dude at all. You know, he just want his vote. He just want him to go out there and try to convince others to vote for him. That's it. You know, but it's hard to say because it's like, I hate to think that this is a president at this day and time in 2020 still have the morals and principles of someone that is from the 1800s. And yeah. But he told us that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to make America great again. So that's yeah. when America was great to him back then, when yeah. you had all these people in control. And, yeah. You know, it's hard to believe that there is someone in office like that. And yeah. it's just hard to believe that.
Yeah, it is. You know, as we close, what would you say to the black man that's listening to this podcast that feels assaulted, that feels as if, you know, there's an assault on my life? There's a target on my back.
Man, you know, I never had opportunity to meet my grandfather, either one of them.
Yeah.
But sometimes I sit back and I think about, well, what would they say to me? What lessons would they give to me? And I would like to think that they would tell me to just continue to walk with my head up high and continue to believe in my dreams and continue to believe in my goals and continue to be a good father and to walk with integrity and be the image that I want my sons to yeah. see. And I think that that's one of the things that I think that we have to continue to do, is to continue to just be the image that you want for your sons to see. Your sons shouldn't see, no offense to LeBron James or to any other celebrities out there, but your sons should see you as that image. My father, my guy, my protector, my leader, yeah. my king. I told Blue literally last night, I'm your king. And I yeah. will be your king until you become your own king, until you get your own kingdom. And we serve a heavenly king, a heavenly father. Yeah. And I think in his own unique way, he gets it. But that yeah. image that I'm trying to show him is someone who walked with integrity. And I would say to my brothers, that just continue to walk in with integrity. And I think that things will change. And I don't think that you have to walk with fear. I refuse to walk with my head down. Absolutely yeah. refuse to do that. I would never do that. I walk yeah. with my head up high because yeah. I am their king and I am their image that I want my sons to see.
Yeah, that's good. You know, one of the things I often think about is when I was growing up, having a father in my life to help guide me on the right path. You know, my father passed away in December of 2019. And if it were not for my father essentially doing exactly what you're doing with your boys, you know, encouraging them and motivating them and challenging them even to do better and to go to the next level, I honestly don't know where I would be as a man. I don't know, you know, what I would have accomplished or whatever. So kudos to you. And kudos to the men who are out there doing the exact same thing, trying to encourage, trying to develop. Because at the end of the day, yes, there's an assault on the black man. But in order to change the narrative, in order to change the assault from being the assault on the black man to being the assault on ignorance or the assault on mediocrity, it has to start from the inside out. It has to start in our race and reverberate out.
Yep, absolutely.
Eric, man, thank you so much for joining me today on this episode. Your knowledge, man, and insight is invaluable, and I really appreciate you. Hey, listen, if you want to connect with Eric, you can do so by following him on social media at I am Eric D. Evans, the number one. That's I am Eric D. Evans, one. Or you can connect with him via his organization, www.413strong.org. That's www.413strong.org. Listen, before I get out of here, I need to encourage every black man listening. That's right. It's important that I encourage you. And the reason why is because there's an assault on your life. I want to tell you that you matter. You are valuable. You are needed. You are necessary. You are king. So take your rightful place. I know it seems like the world is against you, but black man, we need you. So stand up. Do what you need to do. Hey, I want you to do me a favor. Find some black man this week. Encourage them and let them know. Rise up, black man. We need you. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for listening to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Follow us on social media at Necessary Conversations Podcast. Join the conversation by leaving a message on our website, necessaryconversationspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you'll be notified every time a new one drops. Now, go have the conversations you need to have with the people you need to have them with.